Welcome to Ampersound, a podcast brought to you by the team at Visualist. Ampersound features snippets from our interactive digital magazine, Ampersand. Every episode, we speak to multi-hyphenates who have captivated our minds. We ask them about their code switching, routines, and mindsets. For the full stories, check out ampersand-mag.com. That's ampersand-mag.com. Don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe. Today, I'm chatting with design leader, photographer, mother, and dog lover, Aina Sharma. We discuss nurturing your mental health, detecting on and off days, and the joy of treating the world as your oyster. Thanks for joining us, and we hope you enjoy the stories. I would love to hear a little bit about your growing up. I kind of always like to start at the beginning. I know you were born in India. You live in San Francisco. You live in London now. So I guess, where is home now, and where did home used to be?
So I grew up in a very small town near New Delhi. About 30 minutes away from there in India, and I lived there for until I was about 14, and my family and I moved to the Bay Area when I was about 14. So my upbringing was just very typically Indian in the sense that the food, the friends, the school life. I remember a lot of it, but also I'm kind of losing touch with a lot of it now, this many years later. But I remember it being a very creative household, it was, creativity was always encouraged in my household. So it was just a really interesting way to grow up the world was your oyster was kind of the messaging that I got when I grew up. So that was really liberating and exciting. So I could explore whatever I wanted to do. So I remember doing a lot of doodling, painting, chalk art when I was a very young kid. I didn't know what lettering was at the time, but I think that's kind of what I was trying to do. When we moved to the Bay Area, we moved to Fremont near San Francisco. And just started going to high school. And that was a whole new experience, as you can imagine, coming from a different country with a completely different background. It was intimidating, to say the least, going into high school with, the typical high school movies that you see. So I had to watch those movies and I didn't know what to expect. Luckily, all of my classmates were really nice, welcoming. So I think I lucked out there. So started making lots of friends there. And I got interested in a lot of creative things in high school, including photography. I was in a yearbook class, that's when I was like, wow, this is actually a lot of fun. So I was put on layout duty. So I was doing a lot of photography and layouts for the yearbook in my junior year. And that's when I got interested in design, because I was in InDesign almost every day, just doing layouts. And I was like, wow, this is actually really, really interesting. How can I explore this further? From there. Yeah.
And graphic. Yeah, because I think I read that you studied graphic design at the Academy of Art.
Exactly.
So tell me about that experience. So you stayed quite close to home, I suppose, being at the Academy of Art.
Yeah, exactly. I love San Francisco so much. I used to visit San Francisco with my family every once in a while, and just on a little trip. And it was just a fascinating city. It's small enough, so it feels very kind of homey and small, but still has these this kind of big, larger than life vibe to it. At least it did back then. Back when I was 16 years old, I went into Academy of Art just to explore what my options were. I wanted to explore Parsons and a few other universities, but Academy of Art really stood out to me for what I wanted to do. I wanted to go into graphic arts. The program there was just amazing. Talked to a few teachers, did a little tour, and just kind of fell in love with everything that I saw. And it was like, yes, this is my place. This is my people. And I could not wait to get started.
So I guess my question is, you've always loved the creative side of things since you were a child. You said you were doing things like, I guess now you call it lettering. You didn't know what it was at that time. You've always loved it, but when did you realize that was what you wanted to do as your career?
So I would say in high school, because I was exploring so many different creative directions in high school. I was in journalism class, I was in photography class, I was in yearbook. I would do anything creative that I could find. And if I reflect back, I didn't actually know a lot of, like there were a lot of cultural nuances that I didn't know about. But I you know, because coming from a completely different country and continent and coming into this culture where everything's done differently. So I think I just kind of leaned on, I'm just going to find creative things to do and not worry about those cultural differences then, because at the age of 14, everything is confusing anyway. So I think my coping mechanism was I'm just going to see what I can do in high school. And I think that's when I was sure that I have to make this my career somehow. So I was exploring journalism, which I felt was creative. Writing can be quite creative. But then I discovered the visual part of the creative industry and creative world. And that's when I was like, oh, okay, this is it. And the light bulb just went off. And so even now, I'm just a huge fan of photography. I mean, I'm an amateur photographer. I'm definitely not professional in any way, but I've kind of kept that going. So I see a lot of, like when I was 15, 16 years old, a lot of those ideas that I had in my mind of what I can do have actually come true, which I feel like I'm extremely fortunate that has happened. Wow. Because that usually doesn't happen. So I've taken my career in a very different direction in terms of being a more of a, you know, design leader now, but that has its own creative challenges. But I have been able to, I feel extremely fortunate I've been able to carry that through this many years.
I guess art has always been a love of yours. Were you at all apprehensive about making a career out of something that you love? Like, you know, people always say like you should never turn your hobby into a career and things like that. What do you make of that?
Yeah, and I think what I said early on, you know, just a few minutes ago, that my upbringing luckily was the messaging that I got from my parents was the world is your oyster. You can actually go up and to do whatever you decide to do. So it was never that limitation of don't go into this because you're not going to be able to sustain yourself or you're not going to be able to make a certain amount of money. That was never the messaging that I received. So for me, it was like, I will figure it out. And there was just this weird, you can either call it confidence or you can call it being naive. Either way. I think it was very naive at the time, just saying, well, you know what, I'm just going to figure it out. And I didn't know what graphic design was at all until I came across Academy of Art and this program. And I was like, bingo, I didn't even know this existed. But I will say, in all honesty, I was never apprehensive about it because it never even crossed my mind. And I think there was always this in the back of my mind. There was always this this notion of I can always fall back on something else. I'm sure I can figure something else out. And again, probably very naive thinking that it may not have worked out, but I'm glad that it did.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. Were your family a family of creatives?
Not really. My dad was an accountant, it was quite the opposite of being. He was creative with numbers, but you can only be so creative with numbers. So very different in terms of. But I think he was always very encouraging about, well, you know, you do you. You pick your own path. Mm-hmm. And my mom actually is very creative. She has had a few different careers. And at the age of 50, she decided to go to school to become an esthetician. And she did, which is incredible. She's such a huge inspiration. But her background was very different. She was a librarian, but she always had that creative side to her. She also had side businesses, kind of hobbies that I saw growing up. So it was a very I always got that by example from her that, oh, you could just pick up something and just do it, you know, and there's no, you don't have to overthink it. You can just go for it. So yeah, so that's been a huge inspiration. And similarly, my brother and I started this website. I remember when I was we had just moved to the US. I was about 14, 15. We started this Bollywood website. And it was just basically all of the content we could find. And we would like rehash it and rewrite it and kind of present it in a very different light. And so again, that was another, and he was the one who kickstarted all of that. I was just supporting him in that. So I wouldn't necessarily call myself a co-founder or anything. But that was another place where I saw, oh, you know, you could just decide one day that you want to, you know, come up with an idea and execute it and just do it, you know. So that was pretty exciting to see. And he's, my brother's always, since then, he's always just tinkered with something or the other on the side. So I think I've always had that spirit of, well, always keep doing something. It's just exciting.
That's lovely. I want to talk a little bit about photography. That's something that you've been doing for a long time. I guess one of your first loves. What do you love most about photography?
So much. I mean, I guess the biggest thing for me about photography is just capturing that one moment in time, and that one moment is just there for you to admire for the rest of your life is pretty incredible. In this fast-paced world nowadays, especially, you just don't get opportunities to slow down, admire something in front of you as much as, you know, people probably used to 50 years ago. So it's just exciting to me to capture that moment. That's one thing. The other thing is just it's such a, you can capture so much, so many emotions and, you know, so much in one shot. If somebody were to look at a photo that was really well crafted and the composition was perfect, it can tell you so many things. You can dissect so much from just that one snapshot. And that's a pretty exciting challenge to have.
What does sharing your photography mean for you?
Yeah, so one, sharing means for people to hopefully admire it and feel excited about it, and even excited about just seeing something beautiful, but also maybe visiting a place or being excited in some way to actually just see the photo, even if it's not necessarily about the number of likes or anything. It's just when I get comments from friends saying, oh, that was really cool, I loved how you captured that thing, it just makes me feel appreciated and excited. So I have a bunch of photography on Unsplash. I stopped doing that a couple of years ago just because I just kind of did not have the time to keep up with it. But yeah, Unsplash is great because I love the comments that I get on there as well about, you know, people using certain photos and just, again, being able to make, I mean, if it was just sitting in my hard drive and it would just be a very sad thing. I feel like putting photos up on a platform like Unsplash and giving people access to it just means that the photos live on and people can use them in different contexts. So that's exciting to me. Couple of my photos have made it to the top 10 charts, have been featured on Unsplash, which has been super exciting. So yeah, I just always think of photography as a challenge, like how can I capture something interesting, something beautiful, something even disturbing, you know, sometimes, and that's what gets me excited. So I normally don't just take photos unless I feel inspired. So the days I don't take photos, I know that I'm not inspired inside. And if that happens too many days in a row, that I know there's something is wrong within me. And you know, my mental health is probably affected in some way. So photography is a big, big thing for me in that way. Just like music. Music is another thing that if I don't feel like listening to music for a few days, I know there's something wrong and I need to fix it.
So it becomes like your internal, like, temperature checker.
Exactly.
Oh, wow. Cooking. Yeah, no, that's amazing. Music, photography, what other things do you use to, or what are the things your kind of signals for you of your own mental health?
I guess motivation is a big one, right? So like being motivated to do what I, all these things that I feel inspired by on a daily basis, right? So, for example, just being inspired by people and books and, you know, even my team, if I don't feel, if I wake up and just don't feel inspired or motivated to do certain things, that is a, again, that is the thing. Because my core personality is just, I wake up and there are three or four things going on in my head that I need to do on a daily basis. And I think this is true for a lot of people. Consecutively, if I'm feeling like for multiple days in a row that that's not the case, that's usually a kind of a, you know, red flag going up in my head that I need to make some changes. I need to take some time off, or I need to go visit a museum or something that that I can rewind a little bit and get out of the rut, if that makes sense. I think fashion is a big part of it as well. So it's going to sound very strange, it might, but for me, fashion, like what I wear, what I'm excited about, or what I would like to wear that day in the morning. And I never pick my clothes the night before because I want my fashion, my you know, fashion choices for that day to kind of relate to how I'm feeling on that day. So if I'm wearing something big, heavy, and black, I'm kind of just like receded mode and just want to be by myself and introverted that day. And if I'm wearing something colorful, I know that I want to kind of go out there and kind of, you know, just be a little more out there. And so I think that's usually my first sign, believe it or not. It's, again, it sounds very strange, even when I say it, but when I wake up, I think one of my first thoughts is like, oh, it's very exciting to put an outfit together for me. So that's sometimes the first indicator of like, yeah, whatever, not really feeling it today. And so for me, it's very clear, and those very those energized days, I have breakfast and I do certain things that make me feel healthy. And those not so energized days, I'm just kind of like, yeah, I'll just have a banana or something and just kind of, you know, just write it off as a day that I'm not feeling too great.
So fashion is like one of the earliest markers in your day of how you're feeling. Mm-hmm. Is it colors? Is it materials? Like, what is it that symbolizes how you feel?
I think colors is a big one. That's the most obvious one. If I'm wearing something super bright, it just makes me feel brighter and lighter and happier. And I think another thing is just how I've put an outfit together. If it looks well put together to me, then sometimes I just literally throw on a sweatshirt and some, you know, jumper pants and call it a day. And that's when I'm like, okay, did not put a lot of effort into this today because I just can't be bothered. I don't feel like it. But other days it's like, yep, accessorized, you know, put together, you know, look a lot more polished and put together, which is always nice. But yeah, again, I'll say that with the toddler, that becomes increasingly difficult to find the time to do all of that.
Sure.
I still try. Yeah.
Wow, I love that answer. So many things I want to dig into. Because my first question is, have you always been like that? Like when, you know, you were in high school and in college, like, did you have these moments where you recognize that, okay, today's not my day to do all of these things? Or is it more of a, I guess, habit or recognition that you developed as you became more progressed in your career?
Yeah, I think it happened a little bit later on, like probably in my like mid-20s, I would say, is when I got into that routine of like going into work, that habit of back in school and college, it was very different, right? The routine was always very different. So I don't think I recognized these signs. I think it was more like, okay, must just be tired or, you know, other things. But I think when I fell into a proper routine and also got more self-aware of this is what, you know, good looks like for me, or this is what a good successful day looks like versus not so successful when I'm not so productive and not feeling myself. And that's, even then, it wasn't very crystal clear to me what was going on. It was just like, yeah, some days are like, why can't every day be, you know, great? And that's when I was like, okay, well, this is where mental health comes in. And even mental health is not a topic that, you know, we necessarily talk about, especially in Asian cultures. I did not grow up with that understanding of what mental health means, and mental health is something that we have all of the time. It's not, you know, it has this certain taboo and stigma attached to it. So when I started exploring some of these subjects, there's some of these topics with my friends, and just generally started reading about them, it just, everything started clicking together and making more sense. I wish it had come sooner.
You talked about getting inspired. So you mentioned if you're not photographing, you know you're not inspired. And you also talked about photography as a way to inspire you. How do you get inspired? What does inspiration mean to you?
Inspiration for me is feeling excited about wanting to do something, wanting to take something forward. And whether that's something as simple as just kind of getting up and listening to some music and doing a chore, like it could be something as simple as that, or working on a big project that absolutely needs to be done, but just breathing some inspiration into it and getting excited about it. So for me, it has a lot to do with being excited and being energized to move something forward. And there are times when, I mean, I'm really excited and interested, and I'll just take a lunch break and go out and shoot and, you know, just photograph things. Versus there are days when I'm just like, I just don't feel like it. I can't. So that's where inspiration comes in. And I can see it when there are those really inspiring days. And when that happens, I can see that translate through to my work, to my life, to everything throughout the day. And when it's the opposite, if it's very binary for me, when it's the opposite, it's quite the opposite in all of those areas. And I'm just like, okay, I just feel stuck today.
Oh, wow.
Let's hope tomorrow is different. So I've now tried to implement some coping strategies around that, like, try to meditate now a little bit more often than I used to, and journaling, a few other things that I've tried to do in the past. But there are days even now where I'm just like, okay, I'm just kind of stuck today, and that's fine. And then I'll do just admin tasks and things like that don't necessarily need a lot of inspiration.
So I guess having lived in London for 4 years now, have you always worked with Unmind during the 4 years in London?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would love to talk more about your day job. I call it your day job. And you mentioned earlier that you started your design career as with roots in graphic design. It's kind of progressed a little bit now. You're more of a design leader. What does that mean? What does being a design leader mean?
So design leadership to me is, first of all, making a case for why there needs to be a presence for design within a company, within an industry, within an organization, right? So that was my first order of business when I joined HelloSign back in San Francisco and Unmind now, just to even make a case for why is design the most important, or one of the most important things that we should be focusing on as a company. And the second thing would be to embed design into every single touch point. And so I think a lot of times, so I come from a branding background, but I moved into product design at some point and then moved into leadership at some point. So I understand both the worlds quite well, I would say, you know, the user experience side of things as well as the branding side of things. So for me, the entire end-to-end user journey has to have a touch point that relates to design in some way. And by that, I mean branding doesn't just mean a logo or a website or, you know, a brochure that you see. It actually is the way a salesperson or anybody on the team talks about the company. That is branding. That's part of the brand and the tone of voice that you use. So that, you know, just threading that message across to the leadership team and just having that as a kind of a firm, just for messaging to the company is very important to me. So I feel like being a leader, that is my job, to make sure that everybody understands that through that entire user journey, design is an extremely important part of it, whether that's, you know, whether that comes in the form of user research or the user experience or the brand. There are many, many different ways that can happen.
So you started off on the branding side of things, and then you moved into product design. How did that come about?
Yeah, so I was at Zendesk many years ago now. That was my first job as a visual designer that I came into, and Zendesk was just a relatively small startup back then. It was 150 people, and it was just a lot of fun to be part of that brand. So as I was working on the brand side, I just got interested. I would talk regularly to my product design colleagues, just got interested in what they were doing, and attended a few user research sessions, just to understand how users were perceiving our brand and our product. And that was when I was like, oh, this is really interesting. So you designed the product through user research. Like, I was trying to understand what product design even is, and how do product designers work. So through that, I was able to I think one thing that I found really interesting, the difference between branding and user experience design, is with branding, a lot of it is very art based. It's very opinion based, and I think that's changing now. It has changed quite a bit in the last since I've been in that role, 10 years ago or so. But it used to be very, very art focused. So if I put out a poster out there, the users or the consumers like it, great. If they don't, too bad, kind of a thing. There's no iterative process necessarily. Again, that has changed quite a bit in the branding world now. But I didn't see that iterative process back then. Mm. So with product design, with user experience design, that was quite the opposite. It was all about that iterative process of learn something from the users, apply it to your designs, build it, see how it performs, and then do the whole thing over again. I still say, like, branding is at the heart of what I do. I just love, so that this is why I do side projects, because a part of the reason is that I get to kind of explore that side of my roots, and it's still there.
When you moved into product design, UX, UI design, did that come intuitively to you?
I wouldn't say so. No, I think it took a lot of learning in the beginning. What I did was I knew I was interested in it, and I didn't know if that was something I wanted to explore seriously or not at that point. But I talked to a lot of product designers out there, and people who had done a similar transition, who had made a similar transition to me, coming from a branding or graphic design world into product design, just learning about their experiences and where did they get formal education. And at that point, like 10 years ago, there wasn't too much in the way of formal education around user experience design. So it was a lot of figuring things out along the way. So I wouldn't say that I just kind of got it instantly. It was more about working on projects. I did even my own side projects about, I just redesigned certain user experiences just on my own, just to see what I was doing, and took in front of users or just friends, not necessarily users, but just asking for feedback. I slowly started learning what the process looks like. I would say it took some time to get there, but I had the support internally within the company to be able to explore some of that. So that was extremely helpful.
Oh, that's wonderful. I want to talk about your other side hustles or passion projects. So what about Dear Jeannie, your newsletter? I know it's named after your dog, who sadly passed away this year. And what was the inspiration or motivation behind starting the newsletter?
It's been an incredibly difficult year, generally speaking. And then Jeannie, I mean, she's our first child. That's how we introduce her usually. And she was just so, so close to us. And she was with us for 10 and a half years and just was our everything. Like our entire lives kind of focused around her, planning travels around if she's going to come with us, if she's not, you know, everything was just kind of revolved around her. So when she left, she started not feeling too well in January, and then we had to say goodbye to her in April, and it was just extremely difficult, as you can imagine, to say the least. But it was just, I didn't know in the moment what to do to get out of that feeling of helplessness and just feeling like, I think it made us, both my husband and I, just made us rethink a lot of things in life, because, you know, just her loss was just pretty immense. So for me, it was more about how can I channel this, all of this negativity I'm feeling and this helplessness that I'm feeling into possibly something positive and productive, maybe. And from that, I thought about what can I be doing? And I sketched up a lot of different things at that time that revolved around rescue dogs and shelters. And I still want to do some of those things that I've, you know, planned out, but they're kind of long-term projects and they're not going to happen overnight. So I was just brainstorming one day and with my husband and with a few friends, and we were like, I was like, what can I be doing today that's in my control that I can actually start pushing out into the world? And from that, I think my thinking was that I've been a dog owner. I grew up with dogs. So I've been, a mom to Jeannie for the past 10 years. I've learned so much from that experience. So what can I give to the world from that experience? And so I was approaching this from a perspective of, I'm not the authority. I'm not a dog trainer. I'm not a vet. But I have had this amazing pup and, you know, this amazing, I've been fortunate enough to have her in my life, and all the learnings from that I can share with others, right? And also learn a bit about, how others, about other people's experiences along the way. So for me, the MVP, the shortest route to getting something out there was a newsletter. And I thought it was a very effective way to put something out there that was on a, at the time I thought weekly. I think I was very ambitious. Now I've kind of kept it to fortnightly. So every other week I send out a newsletter that talks a bit about, it has different sections and there's a theme to every newsletter. So sometimes I talk about house training a dog. Sometimes I talk about general topics, life after lockdown with your dog, all those people who've gotten a puppy in the last 18 months or so. How do you cope now that you're, you know, kind of going out again, things like that. So we kind of, I touch upon topics with every newsletter, and it's a really great way for me to learn more, as well as, like I said, inject my own experience into it and share it with the world, because I didn't want it, all of that we've done, to just sit in my head and, like, you know, me just mulling over it and feeling helpless. So I thought maybe this is a good way to get it all out there and help others in the process along the way. So I've received some comments in the last few months about, like, keep going, this is great, and I've found value in this. And so it's just a great way to build a community around something that I'm a huge dog lover, something I feel so strongly about. And the last thing was just really honoring Jeannie and just making sure, I think my biggest fear was we're going to forget her. And I don't think that's ever possible. But I think for me, it was just like, I want to just hold on to her and her memory. And so this is a good way for me to do that, you know. It's been an emotional process for sure.
Yeah, I mean, just hearing you speak about it, I'm like getting so emotional hearing you talk about the process as well. Sidetracking just a little bit, you've talked about mental health a lot. Obviously you work at Unmind, which is a mental health startup. Did your awareness of mental health come about prior to your working at Unmind, or was it something that you got to learn more about because of your job?
Yeah, I would say the awareness came before on mine, but not in the same way as what I've learned in the past 4 years. I never gave it that much thought. It was something that I knew existed and needed to be nurtured and cared for, but I didn't know how. I didn't exactly know the mechanisms around it. And so, yeah, on mine has just accelerated that thinking for me. And now I'm a huge proponent of mental health practices and being more proactive and preventative about it as opposed to reactive, which is how the world really sees mental health, you know, and they see it in a very, the world sees it in a very kind of putting a lot of stigma to it in a very kind of negative light, where a lot of the imagery is centered around this kind of black and white imagery of somebody holding their head in their hands, sitting in the corner of a room. That's not necessarily what mental health looks like. You know, it's very much about celebrating the most complex organ in our bodies, which is our brain. You know, and we often make this argument that we go to the gym to take care of our physical health all of the time in a preventative way, in a proactive way, but we don't do that with our brains. So, you know. So yeah, a lot of that awareness came much later, and I'm so glad it's going to stick with me for the rest of my life.
Okay, I want to be mindful of your time, so I'm just going to wrap it up. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah, and it was lovely chatting with you.
It was my honor. It was such a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you so much for taking the time. I'll keep you posted.
Sounds good.
Thank
Perfect.
You.
Perfect. Thank you so much.